So we're surrounded with the things of Easter. And just while I'm on that, can I thank Edna and folks who have decorated the building so beautifully? Just the work and the artistry. Thank you so much for doing that. That's beautiful. Thank you. But we're surrounded by the things of Easter. It's bunnies, it's lambs, it's chocolate, it's cars that have their suspension lowered and they're down in Port Rushen, blocking the place. Well, you know, the things of Easter, whatever, you know. But what does it really mean? What does it really mean that we celebrate Easter? Let me give you a few things that it really means. The resurrection, first of all, means that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Jesus claimed to be the very Son of God. He's not ambiguous about it. He's not saying, well, you know, if you like, I could be the Son of God. He is saying, I am the Son of God. So when he's brought before the council of elders, before he's dragged off to Pilate, he's brought before the council of elders, and they ask him, are you the Son of God? Jesus simply says, you are right in saying I am. Jesus says, I am the very Son of God. Now, who would make such claims? Who would make claims to be the Son of God? C.S. Lewis, followed on after a long line of people with this sort of train of thought, said there are only really three reasons why anybody would say this. One is they're totally mad. So they just say, I'm the Son of God. The other one could be, well, they're not mad, but they're lying. They're not the Son of God, but they just say they are. And the third reason is, they are actually the Son of God. And there don't seem to be any other options. Someone who says, I am the Son of God, is either mad, a liar, or he is who he says he is. Jesus is who he says he is. Listen to these couple of verses from the beginning of the book of Romans, where we read this. As to his human nature, was Jesus fully human? As to his human nature, a descendant of David. So he's fully human. He's descended from the line of David. If you're a good Jew, you will trace your ancestry back. And this Jesus goes back to King David. As to his human nature, a descendant of David. And who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God. How? By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. When Jesus is risen from the dead, he's declaring, I am who I said I am. Jesus is who he claims to be. And that's one of the things that the resurrection shows us. Jesus is the very Son of God, as he has always claimed to be. Jesus also has the power he claimed to have. All through his ministry, as you read through the Gospels, you find Jesus demonstrating this power that only God could have. Only God could touch someone and heal them. Only God could look out across a stormy lake and say, be still, calm down, and the waves would calm. Only God would do this. Jesus demonstrates in so many, many ways in the Gospels this power. But now, supremely, risen from the dead, Jesus demonstrates that not only has he got power over illness or over nature, he now has power over sin and death and hell. The grave cannot hold him. He is victorious. He is triumphant. Jesus has the power that he claimed to have. In Colossians, we read that having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Everyone thought that the cross would have been the disaster. This was everything going totally wrong. But no. At the cross, Jesus disarms the powers and authorities. He shows where true power is. He shows where true authority is. Jesus has the power that he always claimed to have, and the resurrection demonstrates it. He is who he claimed he was. He has the power that he's claimed to have, and he does what he promised to do. Right back during the Gospels, Jesus tells his disciples, they will mock me, insult me, spit on me, flog me, kill me, and on the third day I will rise again. Jesus predicts all of this. His arrest, his suffering, his death on the cross, and the fact that he would rise again. Sandra read for us those words from Luke 24. Whenever people are looking into this empty tomb, wondering, what on earth is going on here? Where's the body gone? What's happened to Jesus? Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. Jesus is who he says he is. Jesus has the authority that he always claimed to have. Jesus did what he promised to do, true to his word. And because he is true to his word, all his other promises will hold true as well. And that's why we can shout with confidence, Christ has died, past tense. Christ is risen, present tense. And Christ will come again, future tense. Because Jesus keeps his word. He promises to come again. And he keeps his promises. This is the Jesus who is who he says he is, who has the power that he claims to have, and who keeps his promises and does what he promised to do. So what does that mean for you and for me? Well, one of the big things is we can know that our sins are forgiven. Jesus willingly goes to the cross. He's not dragged kicking and screaming to the cross. He's not brought there by a mob. Jesus willingly goes to the cross for your sin and my sin, for our salvation. He willingly, he forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. A beautiful hymn that we sang Friday evening. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. Because Jesus is who he says he is, because he has the power that he says he has, because he keeps the promises of what he promised to do, he keeps his promise, we can know that our sins are forgiven. Jesus has paid your debt. Jesus has canceled it. He has taken it away. He has nailed it to the cross. And when you trust in him and what he has done on the cross for you, your sins are forgiven. That's what the resurrection assures us of. Jesus didn't die pointlessly. He didn't die leaving us wondering, has Jesus done enough? Was the death of Jesus on the cross, was that enough, Lord? Was that enough? I hope this isn't a spoiler for you, but if you haven't watched Saving Private Ryan, but you will know if you've seen the film, a squad of soldiers are sent in to rescue this Private Ryan during Second World War. And they suffer a lot. They lose men. They're injured. They're whatever. But they bring Private Ryan out. They rescue him. And then the camera pans through to when that Private Ryan is an old man. He's sitting at the grave of some of his colleagues, some of those who gave their lives rescuing him in that mission. And he weeps. Tell me I've been a good man. Tell me I've done enough to deserve what you've done. Tell me. And it's the anguish of someone who doesn't know if they will ever have done enough. When Jesus rises again, we are assured that he has done more than enough for our salvation. Because Jesus is risen, you can know that your sins are forgiven, nailed to the cross, taken away, cancelled. No doubts. That's his promise. And he does what he promises to do. Because Jesus is risen, the tomb was empty, and your life can be full. The tomb is empty so that your life can be full. Because as we gather here this morning, we're not thinking back to somebody way back in history, although Jesus lived in history. We're not revering a long-dead teacher because of his teaching or his example. We are worshiping a risen and living Savior. So you can have life to the full here and now because that tomb is empty. Jesus simply said, I have come that you may have life and life to the full. That's his promise. This is the Jesus who does what he promises to do. He gives us life to the full here and now when we trust in him. How many of us go through life punching in another day or week or month or year or term, whatever it is, and it seems as though we're not actually getting anywhere or going anywhere. And Jesus reaches out to us to break us out of this hopelessness and to give us life and life in all its fullness. Because the tomb is empty, your life can be full. Because Jesus is risen, your future is secure. All of us, some stage, get anxious about whatever future means for us, whether it's ourselves, our health, whether it's the political situation here or around the world, whether it's the economic crisis that we're all facing, or perhaps it's the environmental disaster that seems to be looming, and we all wonder where this is going to end. And we all have our part to play in bringing these things back to where they should be. But because Jesus is risen, your future is not dependent upon all these things. Because Jesus is risen, you have a risen and living Savior, and your future depends on him. He's the one who commands our destiny. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Your future is secure because you have a Savior who is risen and living. And it's not just for this short life. Jesus, on the night before he dies, talks again to his disciples about the fact that he will die, and they are left emotionally in turmoil. And so Jesus speaks to them to comfort them, to reassure them, to give them hope. And one of the things he says to them is this: I go and prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Our eternal future is secure because we have a risen and living Savior who has gone ahead of us, prepared a place for us, and one day will come back for us, that we may be where he is. I don't know where your favorite place is. We all have places that we just love to go, and they have some emotional connection with us. So we all have those places. But folks, there is no better place than where Jesus is. There is no more beautiful place than where Jesus is. So when Jesus says, I've gone and prepared a place for you, I will come back so that where I am, there you may be also. Yes, your future is secure in Jesus. Our sins are forgiven. Our life is full. Our future is secure because we have a risen and living Savior. And that's why on this day we shout, Alleluia, Christ is risen. And that's why we shout it. We don't whisper it. We don't mutter it. We shout it. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Let's pray together. Lord, there is so much noise around us at times. Voices, information. Lord, we can be overloaded. There is so much that goes on in and around us. So help us today to hear your voice. Lord, speak to us through your word, through our singing, by your Holy Spirit, that we would be left in no doubt that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And then, Lord, again by your Holy Spirit, bring us to that place where we do business with you, that our sins may be forgiven and we may be filled with the joy of your Holy Spirit as we live for and serve our risen and living Savior. And all this we ask in his precious name. Amen.